The mitzvah is when Yaakov Avinu tells first his wives how honestly and faithfully he worked for their father, even though their father cheated him left and right. And then Yaakov Avinu himself tells Laban to his face how he faithfully worked for him for 20 years. And the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Mehilchos Sfiras, Halacha Zayin, says, Yud Zayin, Chayiv HaPoel Lavod B'chol Kolkol. A worker, an employee, has to work with his entire strength, and we'll see what that entails in a few minutes. And so therefore the mitzvah that I want to speak about is how to be a faithful employee, and also hinted to in the Sedra is how not to be an unfaithful employer, not to be like Laban, who was Yaakov's boss and cheated him and changed his salary over and over again. Rav Shach Zatzal says that we can learn from here that even if you are employed by a person who takes advantage of you and doesn't treat you properly, that doesn't mean that now you can therefore act in kind and work unfaithfully and cheat him back. Right? Even if you're working for a loved one, Yaakov Avinu prides himself in the fact that he put in an honest day's work. And also we find in the Sedra that Yaakov Avinu did not only care about how he worked faithfully, he also gave mussar to people who he felt were not working faithfully for their employer. When he met the shepherds who he felt were taking off early and not putting in a full day's work, he told them that he felt that they were doing something wrong. Until they explained to him why they were gathered already around the well, it wasn't because they were taking off, taking a coffee break, extended, and finishing the day early, but this was the custom in order to be able to water the sheep. In any case, amongst some of the laws of what is considered faithful by the employee and then by the employer, first, the Sfarim say that it's crucial that every employer-employee relationship have a contract, a written contract, detailed. So problems don't come up and you don't leave the chance of people changing their conditions of employment in a dishonest way or even in an honest way, forgetting what was the deal to begin with. And also the Evan Shlema says that one should learn all the halachas that deal with his employment and anticipate all the different possibilities that could come up and what the halachas are in those situations, so when they do come up, he'll know how to act according to halacha. Amongst the halachas is that a worker who is hired by the day to work a full day, right, he's paid either by the hour or by the week or whatever, has to use all his time that he's employed for the sake of his employer. In fact, in the time of Chazal, they were so strict to make sure that one did not waste his time unnecessarily, that even though there are four blessings in Birkas HaMazon, the fourth one is only rabbinic, the first three are from the Torah, the rabbis exempted a worker from making that fourth bracha so he shouldn't take unnecessary time away from his employer. Today, since it's customary and known that people aren't so careful with every second, they do take a coffee break, a schmooze break, and sometime, you know, they also take a break for work, right? And that's the custom. Therefore, you definitely have to say the fourth bracha in benching during work also, and it's understood that people are given time to daven, chakras, mincha, or whatever. A worker is definitely not allowed to do his own, take care of his own needs on the time of his employer, and he's not allowed even to do things that would minimize not only quantitatively his work, but qualitatively his work. He's not allowed to fast where it's not necessary, if that will impede his productivity. He's not allowed to stay up late at night, if that will make him tired so he can't do his job properly. He can't go on a diet that would impede his work. He's not allowed to take another job that would impede his work without the permission of the employer. Similarly, persons should not speak to people or call them up while they're working and cause them to waste time from their job. Most certainly, a person who works for an employer without permission from the employer can't use things of the employer for his own purposes if they weren't meant for that. Okay, you can't make long-distance phone calls from your employer's phone without him saying it's okay, but you can take a paperclip. Okay? It's understood that those kinds of things are okay. Now, what is the responsibilities of the employer? He has to pay on time. What's considered on time is Torah describes for a day worker, you have to pay him before the end of the day, and for a night worker before the beginning of the morning. There are many halachas of when that halacha applies, and if a person is hired by the week, by the month, what's the custom, when is the pay date they agreed on. Whenever that pay date is a mitzvah of the pay on time. If the person has the money, he has to pay in full. He can't pay partial and not be transgress this prohibition. He can't take off if the employee owes him money, a debt, on the side. He can't cancel out his wages because of the debt. He has to pay him his wages and collect the debt with a Beis Din or whatever if necessary. He has to pay in cash. He can't pay in goods unless the employee agrees. So if he doesn't agree, he has to pay him in cash. He can't embarrass or be too demanding of the employee except what is customary. We find in the Gemara in Tainus that Choni Hamagil and Abba Chilkia didn't even answer people who gave them shalom. Right? Even allowed to answer shalom sometimes in the middle of davening. When they were in the middle of working, they felt it would be stealing from their employer to say hello, and they didn't answer even to Rabbonim, they didn't answer hello. The Sefer Achinuch says that one who has an employee, the Torah says they should let his employee eat when he's involved in certain works in the field. So the Chinuch says the basic underlying idea is that a person should deal with his employees with a good heart, because good-hearted people attract good to them from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's good if you're an employer to be a good-hearted person with your employees. The Sefer HaYira says that on the mission in Pirkei Avos, the Yiyu Aniyim B'nei Beisecha, that the poor should be members of your house, means that if you have poor people that you would want to give tzedakah to, the best tzedakah is to hire them if you have jobs to be done and pay them and give them a chance to earn an honest living instead of giving them tzedakah. The Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph and the Mida of Nikius, being clean from sin, goes through a tremendous amount of things that a person has to be concerned about when earning a living honestly. All the details that a person could transgress and with that do things that are dishonest in earning a living. They say Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, when he was in Nemel, decided that he's going into business. And when he saw all the pitfalls of how many averas you could do and how hard it is to be careful to deal in business honestly, he decided to find some other way of earning a living. And Shofet once came to him and said that he's so afraid that he will mess up on some of the laws of Shechita and end up feeding people things that are prohibited, that he's thinking of leaving the profession of Shechita completely and going into a different profession. So Rabbi Salanter said, what other profession are you thinking of going into? He said, I want to go into business. He said, in that you don't think that you're going to have thousands of more possibilities of doing things wrong. Better be a shochet. The Chidah and Chomus Anach points out that there's a hint in the words over lasocher from Parshas Chayisara. The word over can also mean before. You make the brachas over lasiyosan, before you do the mitzvah. Over means before. The letters before socher are nun, zayin, kuf, nezek. If you don't deal in business properly, you can cause a lot of damage. And socher itself, if you rearrange the letters, is chaser. It comes out to be something that's missing. And the Kisei David, also the Chidah, says, Yesh misasher ve'ein kol, misroshesh v'hon ra, the pasuk in Mishlei. Some people make a lot of money, but they do it dishonestly, and in fact they have nothing in their hands for the future world. And some people earn an honest living, and they don't make a lot in this world, but they have a home rav, they have a tremendous treasure saved up for them in the next world. Okay, that is an overview of the halachas of the employee-employer relationship. There's something, though, that I want to speak about hashgacha-wise, and that is of the three avos, Avraham Avinu represented chesed, Yitzchak avoda, and Yaakov Torah. Yaakov was a pillar of Torah learning. And the Torah, however, doesn't speak very openly about Yaakov Avinu's Torah learning. It doesn't tell us how many hours he sat and learned, that he put his feet in ice water so he learned all night, and just hints to us that he learned 14 years and didn't sleep in the yeshiva of Eber, but it's not even in the Torah, it's just a hint that it happened between the Vayetze and the Vayelech. There's a hint that he was 14 years learning Torah. Obviously he learned Torah, but the Torah doesn't go into any great detail of describing it. What is the major thing the Torah describes about Yaakov Avinu? How he worked. Isn't that strange? That for the person who represents Torah, the Torah spends a tremendous amount of time telling us how he worked for love. It would seem in our society, for sure, Torah and work do not go together, right? Let alone that that's what should be told about the Torah scholar, how he worked. There's another similar question you can ask. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the first judgment of a person in the next world is on Talmud Torah. Did you learn Torah or not? How much Torah did you learn? That's the first thing you're going to be judged on, we're going to be judged on in the next world. And yet, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when you get to the next world, they ask you six questions. The first one is, Nasaka v'nasasa b'emuna. Did you deal honestly in business? The second question is, Kavata itim matora. Did you set aside time for learning Torah? Now, Tosfos asks, if a person's first judgment is about Torah, then why do they ask you about your business first? Tosfos says, no. Really, the first judgment is on Torah. But first they ask you about your business, and then they ask you about your Torah, and then they judge you first on your Torah. He doesn't explain why it's like that. If they're going to judge you first on the Torah, then ask you about the Torah. Why ask first about business, then ask about Torah, and then judge you on the Torah first? So there are various answers to that, and based on the answers to that question, we'll get back and answer why the Torah spends so much time speaking about how honestly Yaakov worked for Lavan and doesn't talk about his Torah. The Elder Rava says, the reason that they ask you first about your business dealings before they ask you if you set aside time for learning Torah is because a person who learns Torah and is dishonest in business is Mechal Shem Shammai. He causes a Chilul Hashem, and he causes people to say, look at that cheat and liar, and look what a Talmud Chacham he is. So obviously people who learn Torah aren't honest people. I wouldn't want to ever learn Torah or make my children learn Torah. That's a Chilul Hashem. So therefore, before we can know how valuable your Torah was, first we have to know if you were an honest person, so your Torah wasn't a Chilul Hashem. If we just ask you how much Torah you learned, we're not going to really know if you were a real Torah person or not. So first we have to know if you were an honest person. If you were honest, then your Torah is real Torah. If you weren't honest, your Torah is a Chilul Hashem, then you shouldn't have learned altogether. That's what the Elul Rabbi says. The Kat HaKemach, the Rabbeinu Bachya says that Emuna is a function of emes, and God is truth. If you want to get close to God, then you have to be a faithful, truthful person. You can't be a person who's dishonest and get close to God. Torah learning, in its essence, is getting close to God. So you can't ascertain, he doesn't say this, but based on what he says, you can't ascertain how much Torah learning a person really had, how close he got to God, unless first you ascertain he was an honest person in his business deal. The Leiv Eliyahu extends this idea. If that's the case, that being honest is the only way to get close to God, because God is the essence of truth, and therefore dishonesty can't bring you close to him. Only an honest person can get close to God. We can understand why when they look for someone to pray for rain, Abba Chilkiah, who we mentioned before, was the one whose prayers were effective, because Abba Chilkiah was the paradigm of what's it called, of a faithful worker, of an honest person who put in an honest day's work. He didn't even say hello to the rabbis to not waste time from his job. And therefore, since he was such a faithful, honest person, he had a connection to God. His prayers were answered. We find the same thing by Eel. Eel says, Alochomas Bekapti, because I had no dishonesty. In my hands, Tfilosi Zaka. Therefore, my tefillah was pure and it was accepted. Because in order to have a connection to God, you have to be an honest person. And that's what it says in Tehillim. Niyala Bahar Hashem, who can get close to God? Miyakum Bimkom Kachi. The first condition is Niki Kapayim. You have clean hands. And clean hands doesn't necessarily mean that they're not dirty physically. But it means that they are, what's it called, they are clean from dishonesty and deceit. Somebody on my moshav, Tagi Wiesenberg, works in our Karen, said that I think it was Rav Vosner, came once to check on the hashgacha of the grapes there, he was under the tractor fixing something, and his hands were full of grease and oil. And Rav Vosner stuck out his hand, and he said, I'm sorry, but I really don't think it's covered a Torah for me to shake the Rav's hand. Look at him. So the Rav Vosner took his hands and shook it, and he says, that's Niki Kapayim, that's clean hands. He said, what's it called? It has nothing to do with what it looks like. It has to do with doing an honest job. In any case, another idea is that when a person learns Torah and observes mitzvahs, he is basically working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's God's, worker. And if you want to be a good worker for God, first you have to practice by being a good worker for human beings. If you can't be an honest worker for a person you can see, how can you be an honest worker for a God who you can't see? Another idea is a person's Torah has to be keva and melachto aroy. That has nothing to do with quantity. You could work 10 hours a day and learn 1 hour a day, but your Torah is keva, that's the main thing in your life. And the malacha is aroy. That's something that you have to do to fulfill a condition, but that's not your life. You're not making a living. The living is Torah. Torah is what makes your living. Right? No matter how, when you learn, if that's the time you have to learn, that's your life. So, therefore, if a person earns his living dishonestly, he can't possibly think that he's not causing his living. Because God surely is not going to grant you a living if you do it dishonestly against what he wants. Must be that you think that you're the cause, and therefore if you cut corners and you do things dishonest, you'll cause your living. So only a person who's honest and earns an honest living could possibly believe that he is only fulfilling a condition, and if he fills the condition the way God wants him, he has a better chance of getting a living from the Ribono Shel Olam than he has a chance of doing it against God's will. And that person can actually think that his Torah is the main thing. But if a person earns a dishonest living, then he can't possibly think that the Torah is the main thing. That's obviously by him, earning the money is the main thing, and he can even cheat for it. So therefore, before we can ascertain how much Torah you really learned, how much your Torah was kept, or what quality your Torah was, we first have to ask, Nasata v'nasasa b'emuna, we have to find out if you dealt honestly in business. And that's why in the Mishnayos, which these questions are based on, the first Seder Mishnayos is Roya. Because a person has to believe that he's not the cause of his living to plant a seed. Because if you think you're causing it, how in the world by putting a seed in the ground are you causing yourself to have a living? You're outright putting the seed in the ground. It starts to decay. It's only because God is the one who makes it grow that it's going to work. And that's why Zroyim is called Emunos. You have to believe. You have to believe in God that he's the one who causes your living before you plant the seed. And that's why Zroyim starts with Kriyashma, Rachos, Kriyashma. Because Kriyashma is the idea that God is one, there's no other forces in this world that cause anything, God causes everything, and your parnasa is a result of tzchar and ones. If you'll keep the mitzvahs, then you'll get mitzvah artzachem b'ito, yasakta digonecha, and if not, you won't. So you're only fulfilling a condition, you're not actually, making your living, and therefore the condition has to be done in a way that's honest. Otherwise, God surely will not provide your condition with results. And that's why the beginning of Moed, Kovata Ikin La Torah, setting up your time, what now is important, what's the Ikkar of your time, what's the Tafel of your time, starts with Shabbos. Shabbos represents that the Ikkar is the world to come, and that God created the world, and people basically are here to do mitzvahs and learn Torah, and God will provide them with their parnasa as long as they do their prerequisite of putting in an effort. According to this, we once explained that if you work with the intention that the Torah is the main thing in your life, and earning a living is only for the sake of being able to live and observe the Torah and learn the Torah, then your work time is also considered part of your Torah learning, because it's a preparation for Torah learning, and therefore they have to ask you if you dealt in business honestly, because then if you did, then you don't get credit just for the hour a day that you were able to learn. You get credit for the 10 hours that you were working as learning too. So they can't know how much you learn unless they know how you dealt in business. And if you didn't do in business honestly, then even the hour you learn maybe is not considered learning. Another thing Rav Shach Zatzal mentions is that a honest worker and also an employer who pays on time realizes the importance of time. Time is important to them. And therefore, before we can know how much your Torah was really worth, how much the fact that you set aside time for Torah depends on how much time was important. If time was important to you and you took that important time and set it aside for Torah, then the Torah is important. But if time wasn't important anyway, right, and you set time for Torah, then your Torah wasn't all that important. So we have to know how you dealt in business, how much you appreciated time, your time and other people's time, then to know that if you set aside time for learning Torah, then the Torah was very quality. And therefore, based on all of this, the Torah took it for granted that Yaakov Avinu learned Torah. We know he learned Torah. Question is, how significant was that learning of Torah? Right? How do we know that his Torah was really something special? The way to know that is, how did he deal in business based on all the things that we said until now? So first, the Torah tells us in detail how honest Yaakov Avinu was as a businessman, as a worker. And then we know that all the Torah that he learned, which doesn't even have to be mentioned because that was obvious, but that was quality Torah, and that was Torah that was meaningful. So therefore, Medrash says that when he was up all night watching the sheep, right, he said the 15 Shira Malos in Tehillim, because he saw that working in an honest way was an aliyah for him. That was what made him rise spiritually, by being an honest and faithful person. According to others, he said the whole Sefer Tehillim at night while he was watching the sheep, which represented the fact that he realized that his success is not going to be his work, but it's going to be his prayers that the Ribbono Shel Olam reward his efforts with success, because he was not the one who was making his living, he was only fulfilling a condition, and God would provide the living. That you can understand, the Chayyadim, before he died, said that no praises should be said in his eulogies, praising his Torah learning and what a big tzaddik he was or whatever he wanted, none of that mentioned. The only thing he permitted them to mention was the following. Shehoya maso matonu be'emuna ulefidaito lo osa avlo v'shumot v'dover shebamom. That he dealt in business honestly, and according to his reckoning, he did no damage to anyone in monetary matters. And we can understand why. Because everybody knew the Chayyadim was a big Talmud Chacham. But it only would be proven if he was an honest person too. If he wasn't an honest person, then all his Chachma and all his Torah could be was very questionable. They say the Stipler, somebody once came to him and told him a Chiddush that supported something that he said that he found in a Sefer Kochav Miyakov from Rav Weidenfeld, who was, the Sefer was a very rare Sefer. It was hard to get in that time that this person came to the Sefer. And he figured the Sefer didn't see the Sefer. He wanted to tell him that this supports something that he said. The Sefer said, the truth is, I probably could have found that. I have the Sefer Kochav Miyakov, but I haven't looked in it in 40 years. He said, I'll tell you why. He said, 40 years ago, there was a guy selling Svarim on the street. And I went, took a look, and I found this Kochav Miyakov, which is a very rare Sefer, and I asked the guy how much it was, and he asked a pittance for it. So I gladly paid him, and I took it home. When I got home, my conscience bothered me, because I felt that probably the guy had no idea how rare this Sefer was and how much it really was worth. So I cheated him. So I went back to find him to give him more money and let him know that this is a rare Sefer and he should have charged me more. And he was gone. He was just, a vagrant guy who sells farm on the street. He couldn't find him. So I never used a Sefer in the last 40 years for fear that it was stolen, because I got it dishonestly. So that's how Gedolei Yisrael were careful about money matters. Mariel Diskin, his wife once hired a porter to bring something to their house, and he saw that she got a good deal. She paid in a very small amount, And then he made a cheshbon of how heavy the thing was, how much place, and he figured it must be much more. He ran for the guy and gave him what he thought he really deserved, right? Even though most of us are always looking for no Jew buys retail, right? Always looking for some kind of discount. He was looking to pay an honest price. They say the Arizal was very careful to pay his workers on time, even if it meant davening Shmoneh Esrei and Mincha extra fast so he could have the extra time before sunset to pay his day workers. He did that too. It was more important to him to pay his workers on time than to daven a long Shmoneh Esrei. The Rabbi Yisrael Salantis, a famous word, it says that Chanoch was a shoemaker, and every stitch he made in the shoes, he was meyached yichudim. So many learned that he had Kabbalah ideas while he was sewing the shoes. Everything was involved with deep Kabbalah ideas. Rabbi Yisrael Salantis says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is the following, that when he sewed the shoes, he thought to himself, how am I going to do this in the best way, in the most honest way, that the customers will get their money's worth? That was meyached yichudim. That was made a tremendous, effects in the heavens, doing his work honestly. And the Chabad Chaim said, someone who paid his worker on time, the Chabad Chaim said, I'm not satisfied with you. He said, why not? I did the mitzvah, I paid him on time. He said, yeah, but you realize how important that mitzvah is. You would have washed your hands, said, hinini muchan mezumah, just like you do before you take a lulav, the first time, right? But you just did the mitzvah kalachar, yeah, I just paid the guy. You didn't realize what kind of mitzvah you're doing over here, how many mitzvahs are involved in it. You would have done it in a much more serious and a way that put a lot more thought into what you're doing. In any case, that is the mitzvah of Parshas Vayetze, how important it is and how to earn an honest living.